Everyone's experience is unique to them. This podcast contains the personal story, experience, and opinions of the speaker, rather than that of Breast Cancer Now. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of people who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers, and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. Hello, I'm Em, and today I'll be speaking to Nina. Nina, a mum of one, was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 36. During her treatment, she experienced a lot of physical and emotional changes. We'll be speaking about how that affected her, as well as how she's managed to move forward and her participation in our Fashion Targets breast cancer campaign. Nina, thank you for joining me.
Hi, Em. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So would you mind starting just by telling me a little bit about your diagnosis and your treatment?
So I was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer back in July 2018. I had been feeling unwell. I decided to do a dry Jan with a friend at work. And when it ended, I felt really unwell after having like a glass of wine or just eating the normal foods that I would usually eat, because we did dry January and we did like also like a bit of a cleanse. So no red meat, no sugar. We did everything. And my stomach just didn't feel right. So after a few weeks of feeling unwell, I actually went to the doctor and I said, look, I don't know what's wrong. And the doctor said, it's just change your diet. Like, don't eat this and you'll be fine. And I just thought, but I have, you know, I know how to cut out things that are bad for me. I gave it a few more months and then I went back to the doctor again and I started to have a few issues with my periods. Mm. I got sent to have an ultrasound to check that, you know, everything was in place, everything was okay. And I got told again that everything was fine. So this is from January to July. So then July, I just started to, I'd felt really tired. I wasn't eating as much as I would usually eat. And I started to just feel a pain on my chest. I just remember being in bed and I just felt my chest. And when I touched my chest, I just felt this lump. And it was purely by luck. I didn't touch my chest because I was checking for anything. It was because I was in bed tired with my laptop watching Netflix and eating popcorn, and it fell on my chest. And I was just trying to pick up the popcorn, and I'm quite small chested. So something didn't feel right. Of course, I went on Google, as we all do, and it worried me what it might be. So I thought, let me ask a friend to just have a feel and see what she thinks. And then my friend said to me, well, that actually feels like a lump. So you should get it checked out. I'm really good at going straight to the doctor if something doesn't feel right. So I went to the doctor and the doctor said to me that I had just lumpy breasts because it was that time of the month and it was okay. And I had nothing to worry about. I believed what she said. So I went home. But the next couple of days or weeks, I started to experience a sharp pain on my chest whenever I was lying on my stomach to sleep. So that prompted me to check my breast again. And when I checked it, this time the lump felt harder and bigger. So I then asked a friend again because I didn't want to think I was paranoid. And I said, do you mind checking it? And just, you know, I don't want to go back to the doctor again if it's nothing and I'm being paranoid. And she said, no, that feels like a really hard lump. You should go to the doctor. The doctor saw me pretty quickly, but this time she couldn't even keep eye contact with me. And she said, you have to go to the hospital. And I remember that day I was actually flying to Florence. And I said to her, well, I can't go to the hospital because I'm traveling for work. And she said, don't worry, they'll call you and they will let you know. They will work around your timing to make sure that you come in. Mm. And I think in that moment, I already felt like something wasn't quite right. I went on my trip, I came back, and then I was called in. I had a very honest consultant that checked my breast. And as soon as he had a feel, he said to me, "This is not good. I'm really sorry." He basically said, "You also have a lump under your arm. Did you know that?" And I said, "No, I didn't even know that you're supposed to check under your arm." And he said to me, "You're going to have to go downstairs and you're going to have an ultrasound, a biopsy, and a mammogram. But this is really not good. And I think in that moment, I was on my own. I froze. I didn't know what to say. I started crying. Mm. And I just remember walking into this room and most of the women just looked, there was so much fear, you know, and everyone had someone and I was there on my own, just scared and crying. And I, for the first time in my life, I could not hold back my tears. I just kept crying until I went into this room. And I think in that moment, I already felt like I knew it was breast cancer.
Yeah.
Because I kept going from one room to the other where every other woman in there kept leaving. And then the nurse kept touching my arm and saying, "Don't worry, it's going to be okay." And I thought, what's going to be okay? You know, so you start paying attention to the little things that everyone says. And I walked out of that room already feeling like I had been diagnosed, although I hadn't been. And of course, you know, your family, your friends, they're always going to tell you, "Don't worry, wait until the diagnosis, until you know." So then those 7 days were horrible. I actually felt paralyzed. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Then I thought to myself, why do I need to go to the hospital? Surely everything's fine. Let me call my GP. And I called my GP and I said, "Look, do I really need to go to hospital 7 days later for my results?" And he went really quiet. Mm. And I insisted. And he said, "I'm really sorry. It's really bad news. You have breast cancer."
Yeah.
And I remember exactly where I was sitting in my house. I was in my kitchen. It was sunny. My mom was behind me. And I think as soon as he said it was breast cancer, I just broke down in like tears, like hysteric tears. And my daughter at the time was 6. She came running from the living room. And then she started crying because she didn't understand what was going on.
Mm.
And I don't think I'll ever forget that feeling. When you get told you have breast cancer, it's not just you have breast cancer. It is you have breast cancer. Do you want any more children? Because you most likely won't have any. This is the treatment. You're going to lose your hair. These are all the things. And then on top of it, you're told also it's triple negative. And I just thought breast cancer was breast cancer. I mean, it's as bad as it can get. And then he says, but it's triple negative. And these are the only drugs that work. We're confident that, you know, they work, but there's no guarantees. And I think in that moment, I literally felt like I was being swallowed from under the ground. All I could think was of my daughter. I couldn't think of anything else. I kept thinking, she's not going to have a mother to be here with her. That was really difficult. And I cried a lot. There was a lot of tears. And I think it's something that no one ever really forgets.
Yeah, no, of course. That sounds like such a rough journey. You'd already had a very difficult, it must have been how many months by this point that you'd been feeling unwell for most of a year by the sounds of it, and really having to keep going back and advocating for yourself. You must have just been exhausted by that point.
Yeah, I felt a little bit cheated because I felt like back at the beginning of the year, my body was giving me all the signs. My body was telling me something wasn't right. And every time I went to the doctor, I felt like I was pushed away and told, no, everything is okay. Well, everything wasn't okay. Something was growing in my body. And I think that is the problem with being young and going to your doctor with any symptoms, is that they never look at everything as a whole. They just look at the specific problem that you're having. And I remember when I first saw that consultant at the hospital, he asked me initially all my symptoms that I had prior to being that, to finding my lump. And he said to me straight away, you know, with your issues that you were having with your periods, that should have been enough for them to send you to a gynecologist. I even remember having a conversation with my GP, feeling like, you guys should have checked this earlier. And the answer is always, we followed our process. Well, your process is not good enough, because obviously, you know, had I not been aware of my own body and checked by chance, then you know how it is with triple negative. Had I found it a bit later, you know, I might not be here speaking to you.
Yeah.
So for me right now, it's so important that women actually know if something is wrong, to not give up and to keep pushing until you get an answer, because irregular periods are not normal. Having issues with your bowel movements is not normal. None of it is normal. And, you know, if a test for one thing comes back as normal and yet you're still having the same issues, then they haven't looked far enough to figure out what is wrong, and you should keep pushing. And I think this is where I am at now. If something doesn't feel right, it needs checking. But of course, I've already had the cancer. So now, you know, if I have any pain or aches because it's triple negative, they check it so quickly that, you know, I'd wish they had done this prior, because, you know, when I found my lump, it was already big enough that I had to start with chemo first. And I had like about 6-7 months of chemo, and that was really challenging. I think out of all of it, the chemo I found the hardest one, mentally, physically, just everything, because you actually, with every treatment, I actually felt like I was dying a little bit, you know? And that was tough. And if sometimes, you know, with some cancers, if you find it early on, you know, it can be treated so much easier and so much quicker. And I just hope that GPs have a better way of listening to younger women.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And like I say, again, it's good that you were so aware of your body and actually pressed to get these things checked, and mentioned there that you checked your own chest, but also later on you found that you had a lump in your armpit as well. And it's so important that people know to check these areas. And you mentioned having chemotherapy there, and obviously that went on for a long time, and I think you'd earlier mentioned losing your hair through that, and I believe you experienced some other physical changes in your body. I wonder if you would mind talking a bit about how that impacted on you and how it made you feel.
Well, losing my hair was, I thought at the time, really difficult. I tried to keep my hair for the longest time, so I opted to wear the cold cap, which now I wish I hadn't, because it did feel like torture. But I didn't want my daughter to see her mum change so quickly. I think she was so little, and I just wanted it to be a gradual change. So I wore the cold cap, I suffered, and then it got to a point where my hair really just was hanging on to dear life, and I just needed to shave it. And I still remember the conversation with my daughter and saying to her, look, mummy has to go and shave her head, because it actually is hurting and I look more sick than if I keep the hair. So, and she said to me, she wasn't sure, but she said, okay, mummy. And then I remember coming back and she said, you don't look like my mummy anymore. And she was really upset.
Yeah.
And she did not want me to go to school with my shaved head. So I bought a wig. I had already been prepping for it anyway. So I had a wig. And that was a really tough one because, you know, if you look at my hair, I'm mixed race. I've got curly hair. I had big curly blonde hair at the time. And I tried to find a wig that looked like me because I still wanted to look like me. But I couldn't find anything that catered for me. You know, I couldn't find anything that looked like someone who was mixed race. And all the wigs were blonde, straight hair. And that was really demoralizing because when you lose your hair, you stop feeling like a woman. It's like it's part of your feminine. And when that's gone, all of a sudden you don't feel like yourself. So that was the beginning of my confidence really being lost. And I worked really hard to put my wigs on and go to the hospital with a good attitude. And my wigs did really help me while my hair was growing. But then I lost my eyebrows and I lost my eyelashes. And I think that that hit me differently. I think at that point, I felt and looked like a cancer patient. It made me feel really low. It made me feel like I was going to die. And it was a point of me accepting that I was actually sick because I looked sick. Then I started to lose a lot of weight through chemo. My gums were bleeding. My nails were brittle. They started to go yellow and black, and they were so sore. I thought they were going to fall off. On top of that, my scalp was on fire half of the time, and it was painful. Like I had to force myself to look in the mirror, put my makeup on, and make myself feel good. And it worked. So the makeup, the wig, it all worked. But then eventually you have to take it off.
Yeah.
And then you have to look at yourself again and go, oh, this is what I look like. And then, you know, surgery comes and then you have a scar and you know, I was scared to look at it. Then one of my breasts was smaller than the other one. I had a scar under my arm that I just thought was never going to heal. Then you have radiotherapy. And then your skin completely changes color around your breasts. And I've got a square and a circle. And that's tough, you know, especially being someone who was, you know, young. I was still open to dating and moving on with my life. It, you know, it did affect my self-confidence for a while. I feel better about it today, but it's definitely constant daily work.
I can imagine having all those changes happen to you, and it sounds, you know, it sounds very physically painful as well, what you describe with your gums and your nails. It's just relentless, and it's affecting you physically and emotionally and mentally, of course. And before that, had you previously had quite a good relationship with your body? Had you kind of felt comfortable in yourself?
I would say no. I think before hitting 36, I had a horrible relationship with my body. I was definitely very tough on myself and how I looked. I've always been curvy. I've always had hips and a bum, small waist, and I've always been very critical of my body. But then when I got to 36, I think for the first time, I remember being on holiday with my daughter and feeling really comfortable in my body, being okay to run on the beach with her and not worried about someone paying attention to my thighs jiggling or whatever. And then that's when I got diagnosed with breast cancer. So it was a bit of a hit because I had just done all the work to feel really confident in my skin. Then I got breast cancer and then it hit me again. And that was tough. All I could see is what was happening. And what was happening was I was losing all the weight. I wasn't feeling great. It was hard to visualize what I would look like at the end of treatment. I just couldn't look too far ahead. I was focusing just on the present day.
Mm. But we've reached this point now where you're now speaking more about this, partly for our Fashion Targets breast cancer campaign. And, you know, you've got your hair back and look incredible. But obviously that was a process as well, getting back to this point. It's not just as soon as, you know, it's not treatment finishes and you recover. There is a process. And I imagine that part of that process was you sort of learning to look at yourself in this new light. I wonder if you can speak a bit more about that. How gradually did you kind of learn to love your body again as you had done, I mean, unfortunately so close to when you were diagnosed and then losing that bond that you'd built with yourself almost.
It's so true. I actually, remembering back to it now, I remember the actual time, and it was when my drug was changed because my tumor wasn't shrinking. Mm. When my body started fighting, like when I felt like my body was like going through so much, and I could see and I could understand physically how much my body was putting up with, and it was still not giving up. I think in that moment, I think it was just before I went into surgery, a couple of weeks before, I accepted that I shouldn't be that hard on myself because this body got me this far. I'm like, my tumor shrank and disappeared. My body did this. Mm. And I think in that moment, I became very thankful. I appreciated my body for all it was. And in that moment, I kept thinking, why was I so critical? All of a sudden, I started to really look at the positives and what my body had done. It doesn't mean that I was super secure in my body, but I accepted that it was doing something good for me. And then when I ended my treatment, it all hit me and I sought therapy. I realized that in order for me to move forward, I needed to deal with what had just happened to me.
Yeah.
Because that was blocking me. It was stopping me from moving forward. And having therapy has really helped me build a better relationship with myself. I think it's taught me a lot about myself, how I think, how negative I can be about my body or about myself. And it's forced me to have conversations in my own head and change the narrative, change how I speak to myself and to be kind to myself. So now I'm comfortable very much in the skin that I am. I mean, I have days where I don't feel so confident. And then I remind myself why I'm still here. It was this body. And that makes me completely change how I think about anything. Going through cancer treatment is traumatic, however you want to look at it. And you need to process it. And therapy has and is helping me process it to this day.
I'm so glad that you did find that help. I mean, even if you did initially have that, I don't need counselling, I don't need that kind of attitude, which I think is probably quite a natural reaction to have. You think like, well, I've beaten cancer, you know, I can beat this too. But in the same way that, you know, these physical problems we have need treatment, sometimes the emotional, the mental impacts of that need a bit of help as well. And that's so good that you actually went ahead and you sought that. And so now where we're at the moment, you are, as I've mentioned, part of the Fashion Targets breast cancer campaign. I wonder if you could speak a little bit about what that means to you, especially as you talk about through your treatment. You know, your daughter saw you going through treatment, and so your image is something that you were very aware of because you were very aware of how you were being perceived as well as how you were viewing yourself. So what does this campaign mean to you, and how have you enjoyed getting involved?
I have absolutely loved it. I was so happy when I was approached to be part of it because I think it's a brilliant idea. I can't think of anyone who wouldn't want to buy like a nice pair of jeans, nice t-shirt, and knowing that a percentage of the sale is going to help life-saving cancer treatment. So for me, that was enough to make me want to be part of it, because, you know, I'm young, I love fashion. Mm. Fashion made me feel great throughout my treatment. What made me feel good was putting on makeup, was getting dressed. Sometimes I wasn't going anywhere. Sometimes I was just dressing up to go sit in my garden, because that's as far as I could walk. But it helped me feel good. So Fashion targets breast cancer. I mean, it's just the most brilliant idea to support young women going through breast cancer. It's just amazing. So I'm really happy to have been asked to be part of it.
Mm. And I think a part of it as well is just that awareness. And as you've alluded to a few times, it is younger women that need that awareness. Because if they do go to doctors and aren't quite sure what they should be looking for, they need to make sure that they do have that awareness and that they can advocate for themselves.
Exactly. And I think with River Island being such a young brand, it brings awareness to that age group, which really that's where it needs to be. And for me, it's so important for young women to know their body. My daughter is now 10 and I teach her how to check her breasts. I teach her so she knows, and I want her to know. And for me, what I would love, you know, in the future, or, you know, as soon as possible, is that they introduce this kind of self-check in schools, the same way they have sex education. I feel like they should be teaching young girls from as young as 8, 9, 10, to just be able to check their bodies and understand what is normal. Because I know for a fact that women of my own age, they don't know about checking their breasts. Mm. They don't check. No one seems to know unless they come close to someone who has had breast cancer. So yes, I am a major advocate for making sure young women know their body, they know how to check it, and this campaign targets exactly that. So that's why I love being part of it.
Thank you. And even though as we're talking now, I can see you come across so positive, but you did mention, you know, there are still some days where you might have a bad day, as I think a lot of people can probably relate to, regardless of what they've been through, any kind of physical changes. Sometimes we don't have the best relationship with our bodies. But how do you continue to take care of yourselves on those days?
Yeah, it's tough. Mm. Not every day is an easy day. I have hard days for sure. And I cry, and I'm not ashamed of it. On the days when I don't feel good, I don't feel good. And if you ask me, I will tell you honestly that I don't feel good. And if I feel sad, if I want to cry, I cry, I do all of that. I might not be around people if I don't want to be. Sometimes it happens that I have my therapy on the day that I'm feeling really low. And it helps to talk. So what I've found is that the more that you speak about a feeling, the better it feels, because you've put it out there. You've processed it. You felt it. And once I've done that, I feel really good. I go for a walk. I try to exercise. Anytime I see my daughter, it cheers me up anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try to be kind to myself by not denying myself of those emotions, because they're normal. And we need to normalize it, because no one can be happy and upbeat every day. It is just impossible. And if I'm unhappy, then I'm unhappy and I accept it, and then I move past it. And then I go, okay, this is why I was feeling like that. I feel better now. But yeah, definitely talking and just getting out and going for a walk always helps me, always.
Yeah, just being able to feel your feelings is, it sounds like such a simple thing to do, but it helps so much. And with that in mind, is there perhaps anything that you would say to other women who might be in a similar position, who aren't feeling that great about how they look at the moment? Is there like a piece of advice that you would share?
Yes, I would say that this too will pass. Nothing stays the same. It will change. And I mean, look at me. My hair grew. I feel a lot better. I feel stronger. And it's part of the process. We all felt like that, and you will feel better. And you just have to hang in there and don't be afraid to feel the lows. Just experience them and be honest with them and don't hide them. I feel like a lot of time people try to push away their feelings, you know, deny them and try to just be happy and positive in front of everyone. I actually think that that makes your healing process harder. So just feel through it and know that it's going to be okay. A lot of people are so scared of accepting that you are depressed or that you're not feeling great. I documented my whole journey on Instagram because I found it so difficult to have to constantly tell everyone how I was feeling. So I thought if I put it on my Insta stories, it would help me get that point across. But in a way, it worked as therapy for me because you saw my bad days because I didn't hide them. And I'd be crying if my drug didn't work, my cancer, my tumor didn't shrink. I feel like I'm going to die. I mean, you saw it in my eyes that I was sad. So when I got to the end of my journey and I said to everyone, I'm actually not feeling great. And the best investment that I can actually invest in for myself is to get therapy. And I feel so much better. Mental health is such an important thing. And when you have cancer, your mental health is at its lowest. And when you finish treatment, you feel a little bit abandoned. You know, that is the feeling. And there should be more support in that area when you finish your treatment, because that's when you are at your weakest. You know, you've just gone through so much. And people just assume because you finish your treatment, you haven't died, then that's it. Like, you should be happy, go live your life. It's not that simple. You go on to another journey of trying to make yourself mentally strong and start again. You know, you're having to literally start all over again. You know, friends you had, you don't have anymore. Things you don't like anymore. You don't look the same. You know, none of us after cancer treatment look the same. We all look different. I mean, my hair is black. I did not have hair this color, you know, so we all look different. So we all have to learn to love this new person that we're becoming and being really happy with it. I would say if you can take therapy, even if you've had no cancer, I'm the biggest advocate for therapy. Take your 10 sessions that the government gives you and enjoy it, because you will learn a lot about yourself, I think. So yeah, I've learned my own strength that I didn't know I had, really.
No, I can see your strength and I see it come through in the Fashion Targets campaign. Now, everyone who took part in it, I was looking at the pictures and reading the stories, and yeah, I think everyone who's been chosen to take part is just brilliant.
One of the main things for me to take part is that I think, as I touched on earlier on, was that when I was diagnosed with cancer and I got given my choice of wigs, or I got given my paperwork, I couldn't see anyone that looked like me. And I found that really hard because I just thought, how come I'm the only person who looks like me who has cancer? I don't look like that lady. So I guess for me, it's really important to show representation to women of color and black women, because it looks like black and mixed race women don't get cancer, and cancer is just a white problem. And it's not. I want mixed race and black women to know that they too can get breast cancer, and especially at a young age. And I just want that representation to be more in all of the media and all the things that we see, because at the moment, I don't see enough of it. And for me, it's really important that that becomes more visual and more represented.
Yeah, that representation and those services as well. You know, it would be lovely to have wigs accessible that you felt that you could wear. I think you being part of that campaign will definitely at least put a bit more representation out there and hopefully change people's perceptions of things.
I hope so. It's a start. It's something, isn't it? And if it means me being vulnerable and sharing my story means that someone can have something to relate to, then I'm happy, you know? I'm happy that I've done this.
You can support people like Nina by purchasing something from our Fashion Targets breast cancer range, currently at River Island. And you can follow more of Nina's story via Instagram at FroDays, and that's days with two S's. We'll link that in the show notes. And thank you so much for speaking with me today, Nina.
Thank you, Em. That was amazing. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on your preferred podcast service to hear our next episode. If you have any questions or concerns from listening today, you can find information on our research, services, and campaigning on our website at breastcancernow.org.